When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan. How you doing out there? Drive safe. If you're already home, man, hopefully you're safe. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Going to sprinkle in some other topics of conversation outside of the Yankees, but we can continue to talk about the ridiculous performance of Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton bouncing back, Austin Wells cracking through, Marcus Stroman has been solid all year. Volpe as well, leading off. And you look at guys like Rizzo and Glaber, and then even at third base, the situation with DJ and Cabrera. And, you know, you're a spoiled Yankee fan. You want more. You want to win the World Series this year. You want to fill those holes. And in 6-7 weeks or so, the trade deadline will happen, and maybe we'll get some other guys in here. But, yeah, other than that, I talked about the Mets. Edwin Diaz is expected to rejoin the Mets on Thursday. And like I said, for the Met fan, it's like you take two steps forward or one step forward, two steps back. You feel good about it, and you don't feel good about it. It's here today, gone tomorrow, if that's the case, and there's no consistency. Like, man, I remember talking in late April, May about how they needed to rip off a win streak. What's the Mets' longest win streak of the year? Two games? That's not a streak. Three is a win streak. I don't know if they've gotten three in a row, but anyway, no June swoon. But, I mean, May, they won one series against the Cardinals. And now you're looking at this team. You get Francisco Alvarez back. Yeah, Mark Vientos is probably going to be around for a while. Brett Beatty, of course, is killing it in AAA. But you got to sell. I think you let David Stearns do what Billy Epler did last year. And I think he could be better at it. So that's the baseball here in New York. Call me up if you want to talk Yankees or Mets. The finals, game three. You guys been watching the NBA finals? I haven't. And I always say I love the finals and I watch every year, but I hate the Celtics. It reminded me of when Boston won the World Series, not when they beat the Dodgers, when they beat the Cardinals, I think it was. I couldn't stand to watch that World Series. Like, seeing my enemy prosper, I'd rather not see it with my own eyes. You know, similar to the Dodgers fans parading around the streets of Yankee Stadium. I saw it on the internet. I was tucked. I was in the back of Juan's. Like, I heard it. I knew what was happening. My girl Serena was with them. But I didn't physically see. I didn't want to see that. I don't want to see the Dodgers fans marching around. And man, I got to tell y'all something. And I was talking to Ball Vinny about it. And Ball Vinny said I could relay some of the message. You know, everything in this internet digital world is not what it seems. We live in a time now where people's faces are so stuck in their phones that they look at the phone and they take that as gospel, truth, 100% fact. Oh, I saw it on Twitter. I saw it on Instagram. I saw it on Facebook. That's what happened. You wasn't there. Like, don't tell me about a video you saw on your phone and you weren't there. So obviously the narrative is, oh, the Dodgers fans took over the streets of New York and Yankee Stadium. Yeah, with the help of NYPD. So, like, they showed up to Billy's at 1:45, 1:30 to get in at 2. We're not doing that. Yankee fans are not showing up for a 7:35 start on a Saturday. Why would you be at Billy's 5 hours before the game? Like, six hours before the game. Tourists. They're here in New York. They did a whole boat trip and whatever. But the thing that BV told me, if you ever see Ball Vinny, he's camped out in front of Billy's. And he's got his shirts and his merch all out there. You know, he told me, he's like, yo, some of them called 911, and the police showed up, the sergeant showed up, and said to BV, hey, man, can you find the leader of these Dodgers fans, the leader of Pantone 294? And once they did find the leader, the guy who's coordinating everything, they set it up, right? Because these Dodgers fans don't know. These Dodgers fans thought they were going to actually, like, go down the street and walk. If you've ever walked, like, far further away from Yankee Stadium, It's enter at your own risk. It's not safe for you to just be walking in some of these places, especially if you got on Dodger Blue and you're that deep. There's 2,000 of y'all. So basically the police gave them the route to go, and they came out of Billy's. They went south. They made that that left where Stan's is. They went all the way up to the park and around where, like, the courthouse deli is, where there's it's all 12, it's all police vehicles and whatnot. It's nice and safe. They went around there, and then they came down 161st Street. All that is blocked off anyway. Like, anybody that goes to Yankee Stadium, that drives to Yankee Stadium, the police escorted them through barricaded streets. Their whole parade that they had was aided by NYPD. So shout out to our guys in blue, the NYPD, knowing what to do. And from what I was told, they thought they were going to walk around, and they were advised, yo, don't do that. Like, people might take that the wrong way. You might catch a couple strays walking too far down from Yankee Stadium. Follow this truck. We're going to have this truck with blinking lights, right? All the police know where the points are, where this parade is going, just so you guys can get your little video for Instagram and Twitter on your phones. And it happened to be the Yes Network that caught the best video of it because of where they were stationed. And, you know, that's that. I wanted to relay that message. I'm like, I didn't like it at all. I didn't like Yankee Stadium being taken over. I told you guys for weeks they were coming. Pantone 294, they're coming. I was saying that to try and get you guys to buy tickets, break the bank and buy tickets and come out. But after this whole experience, I realized we need to mobilize. You know, the creatures can be national, right? We can take the Bleacher Creatures on the road. We can have Bleacher Creatures 203 to rival Pantone 294. And we can start to... Could you imagine that, right? The Yankees fans, the Yankees travel, and fans just organically show up to the ballpark. Like, I used to do some work with the guys at Bronx Pinstripes. I have no idea what they do now. But I know when I was working with them back in 2015 to, like, 2019... they had Facebook groups in, like, different cities, like Bronx Pinstripes, Florida, Tampa, Bronx Pinstripes, Philly. So they started to organize it. I think the next step is to take the Bleacher Creatures brand and go on the road. I know Bald Vinny was on the show that went on the road. I know some of the creatures themselves have gone to Philly, gone to Ohio, gone to Pittsburgh. But it's like, nah, the Dodgers fans are selling ticket packages. And their whole tagline is Pantone 294, more than a ticket, it's an experience. And that's how they're able to mobilize like this and move so militant. You know, everything is not what it seems. You know, get your facts straight, get your information. 888-808-1019. We're going to get back to the phones and talk Yankees. I tried to sprinkle in the NBA Finals talk. Kristaps Porzingis has a rare injury to his leg. He's out. I still don't think that helps the Mavericks. They may win one game. And they need to win this one game tonight. Y'all made such a big fuss about Aaron Rodgers and Hassan Reddick. Nobody cares about Amari Cooper not showing up to Browns camp. Oh, that's different. You care more about Joey Chestnut not showing up to the hot dog eating contest. Well, he's had enough glizzies. 1 million glizzies gobbled. That's enough for you, Joey. Go do something else. I saw he signed with, like, Beyond Meat. So I guess he's just going to eat fake hot dogs. Whatever. Let's get back to the phones, man. I don't really care to talk about Caitlin Clark not making Team USA or the Madden curse is Christian McCaffrey. Yo, don't draft Christian McCaffrey in fantasy now. I made that mistake last year. Dumb. I always regret. Christian McCaffrey burned me in fantasy when he was playing for the Carolina Panthers. I don't know what year. So I had the number two pick in my league. First pick, they take Justin Jefferson. I'm like, nope. Fool me once, can't fool me again. And I took Nick Chubb. And what happened to Nick Chubb this year? And what did Christian McCaffrey do this year? That would have won me the league. That one mistake. The rest of my team was stacked. That one mistake would have won me the league. So don't think there's a Madden curse. Christian McCaffrey, he's going to be good to go this year. All right, back to the phones. You guys want to talk Yankees, and I'm not going to stop you. Thomas in Hackettstown, New Jersey. You're on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I honestly have felt a lot better doing this job. I'm in a little bit of pain, but not too much that I can't talk and I can't host. I'm good.
Okay, well, good. I hope you feel a little bit better. I caught on the show late, so I hope everything's okay. But I just wanted to see what your thoughts are, how far the Yankees are going to go this year. And I'm going to the game, the 23rd, I'm going to that 1 o'clock game. Who's this Bald Vinny guy selling shirts? Maybe I'll see him.
So Bald Vinny used to lead the roll call for years, and it's been like a decade since he hasn't led the roll call. Mark does it now. But Bald Vinny branded the Bleacher Creatures, and he sells Yankee merch, Bleacher Creature merch, right outside of Yankee Stadium. The 23rd, that's outside of the Braves series, right? The Braves series is the 20th.
No, it's the last game of the Braves series. Okay. It's in the afternoon.
So, yes, that's that Sunday, like 2 o'clock game. That's a great game to go to.
Yeah, I think nice 1:30, you know, home early for dinner, but enough time to have a beer and root for the Yankees.
Yeah, that's a great game to go to. I think my neighbor is going to that game. It's a 1:35 start on the 23rd, Collectible Cup Day.
Yeah. So...
What else did you ask? Did you ask something about the team? You asked about Bald Vinny. You said you were going to that game on the 23rd. What else did you say before that?
No, my apologies. I kind of said it fast. I was curious how far you think this team is going to go. You think the World Series bound or?
Yeah. I think the Yankees can win the World Series every year because that's the goal. That's the plan. That's the mission statement. And then there's some point in the year where I'm like, nah, this ain't it. And I haven't gotten to that point with this team yet. So, yeah. I want a World Series victory. I want to win the whole thing. I want to be in a parade before I'm old, and I am officially old now. Thanks for the call, Thomas. If you're just tuning in, this is a different type of show for me. This is a post-surgery show. I had surgery Monday morning to repair a hernia because I thought I was able to squat 225. Thought I still could get 225 up and down, and yeah, I got down, and when I got up, I said, oh, I didn't feel right. So Father Time has humbled me, and man, something I'll say before we get back to the next call, it's an eerie experience going in for like pre-administered testing or whatever, pre-administration testing, right? They're hooking you up to machines, they're getting your heart rate, they're taking your blood, and then when you come in, you know, my surgery was at 10:30, 11 a.m., but I got to show up to the hospital at 8:30, so they can set me up, and it's just like, I don't know, it was eerie, man. I don't like hospitals. Last time I was in the hospital was when my son was born, and I had to spend a couple nights in there, but it is eerie putting on that robe, putting on that, like, hairnet, putting on those socks, and then getting in a stretcher gurney bed and having someone push you around when you feel like you're perfectly fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is scary. I was saying to my wife, not to be grim, but I'm like, you know, yeah, I don't even want to say it on air, but basically it was a good reality check for me. And like, that's why I'm here tonight, because I just got to take better care of myself. And I got to realize that, like, you know, I have this great job and opportunity to connect with so many of you guys and, you know, lifting heavy weights and squatting. Like, I'm not playing football. Nobody's trying to tackle me anymore. I don't need to do that. I need to do everything that I possibly can to be healthy enough to host these radio shows and prove that I belong here at WFAN, prove that I'm one of the best here at WFAN, and, you know, continue to tell my story and show who I am. And I can't do that if I'm hurt. I can't do that if I'm sick. And from this point moving forward, I'm gonna be better. I'm doing Pilates. I'm hitting the yoga. I'm stretching. And I'm not doing any. That'll be the last time I'm getting under the squat rack. But, it, you know, that's the football player in me, man. It's hard to shake. But yeah, Father Time is undefeated. So for some of you guys in your 30s that still think you can go out there and hoop and play flag football, and I'm about to start playing golf. I took my first golf lessons. I'm about to start getting on the golf course. That's my lane now. I'm about to start doing that. There's no reason to go to the gym and squat all that weight, man. You know, I'm at Yankee Stadium with a hernia. I'm sitting down. I'm like, ah, and nobody knew. You know, I was embarrassed, but embarrassing yourself builds character, especially on a platform like this, letting people know, like, yeah, I went too hard in the gym. I got hurt. I had to get operated on. They had to put me under. And here I am in pain hosting my show because I don't want anybody filling in for me. And I don't want anybody getting more opportunities to do this than me when I'm a full-time host in New York City and blessed to be in my third year on WFAN, and maybe there's 3 more years or 10 more years after this, but for that to happen, I got to show up and I got to keep having good shows and taking calls and making, you know, more people happy and entertaining. I hate to disappoint. Like I said, I was sick last Monday, and then this past Monday I had to get the surgery. And when people hit me on Twitter or Instagram, yo, you on tonight? And I say no, or, you know, somebody, or like C-Mac fills in, which shout out to C-Mac. I think C-Mac is great. But at the same time, he's not me. So when somebody else is expecting me and I'm not there because I lifted too hard or because I, you know, didn't take care of myself and got sick, I'm more disappointed than anybody when I can't do the show. That's it. Back to the Yankee talk. Jason is out on Long Island. Jason, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man? Longtime fan since the Pinstripe Strong days.
Appreciate it. Shout out to them.
Yeah, man, for sure. My question is, Yankees outfield is stacked with Verdugo and Judge. Yeah, Stanton, Soto, obviously. I don't know realistically what we're going to do with Dominguez. I mentioned in passing before it could be a platoon situation with Stanton against righties. You start Dominguez, but Stanton's track record in the playoffs is ridiculous, especially against good pitching in the playoffs. So my question would be, if everyone's healthy, is Dominguez on the roster? And if he is on the roster, what are you doing with him?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go off of what Aaron Boone said. If the manager literally said that, you know, they know who he is and they know his talent. They said we certainly know what he's capable of, but he literally said there needs to be a spot for him to play. If someone doesn't get hurt or slump, not even a slump, if someone doesn't get hurt, there's no spot for Dominguez. They're going to leave him in the minors.
He's 1.2ing in the OPS in the minor league. I mean,
he's not a minor league player. At 21 years old, he's ready for the show. But they will leave him there because they have an embarrassment of riches and there's no spot for him to be in the field and in the lineup every day.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no other games going on in AAA in the playoffs, it doesn't hurt to put him on the bench, you know.
But I'm a greedy Yankee fan and that says, what good is it to have, you know, Trent Grisham or Jahmy Jones as your options, as defensive replacements or your pinch hit options or pinch run options? Dominguez, as a young guy, could, you know, kind of continue to cut his teeth doing that. What did he play, 8 games last year?
Yeah, well, second pitch in the big league, he took Verlander opposite way.
He's ready. He's clearly a big leaguer, but they have such a, you know, depth of talent. They're going to let him keep mashing AAA pitching.
Well, there's no games in October, Keith.
No, well, September call-ups are different. He'll be up in September.
He will be, but he won't be starting, which the Yankees are not. The Yankees just, they don't like him not starting.
We can't say that. Basis. You know, we can't say that. Hopefully Judge is healthy. Hopefully Soto is healthy. Hopefully Verdugo is healthy. Stanton's healthy, and they're all hitting, but we don't know. I thought Clark Schmidt would be good. We're about to see Cody Poteet pitch today. We were talking for weeks about six-man rotations and what they're going to do with Cole. These things work themselves out.
They do. They do work themselves out.
So, yeah, thanks for the call, Jason. We can't fast forward to the future. None of us know what's going to happen. But it's good to know we got this kid. If we don't get another bat at the trade deadline, there's another bat. You know, if we're not able to, if there's too much of a Cashman tax, right? If there's too much of a, I'm not doing business with Cashman. I'm not helping Cashman out. I don't like his antics. I'm tired of him. This guy works at the last minute. He tries to finesse and fleece. We're not going for it. If there's too much of a Cashman tax, Cole's coming back. Dominguez is coming back. You've got enough guys, at least in the outfield and in the rotation. The bullpen, no excuse for not adding to the bullpen. They're readily available arms for the bullpen. And another corner infielder or two, maybe a utility infielder guy. I don't know. Those guys are out there as well. Let's go to South Orange in Jersey. Ari, you're on the Fan. What up?
Hey, how we doing tonight?
All right.
I wanted to call in and say, you know, last year, a lot of Yankees fans wrote off Cashman, and I think we ought to give him his flowers. I mean, look at the guys who we thought were done. You know, Rodon last year, everyone thought, like, this was a failure. But, you know, he got in Verdugo. He's got in, you know, some of these guys, and they're studs, right? Like, let's give Cashman his flowers. He's a great GM, one of the best in baseball, and I think Yankees fans ought to be appreciative of him.
Thank you for the call, Ari. We almost never get those calls. I was just mentioning Big Mac. Shout out to Big Mac. Big Mac never wavers on his Cashman praise. So much so, he's been called a Yankee shill, a Cashman shill, is that a thing? A Cashman defender, and he, you know, he owns it. But if you listen to Big Mac talk about Cashman, and you're a Yankee fan, like, did you hear Matthew who called about being a Mets fan? You have Brian Cashman to thank for being in New York, New Jersey, and beyond, and choosing the Yankees and not the Mets. And every night you have fun like you did tonight with a you know, not every night, but most nights, you have a 10-1 game. You have guys mashing home runs, guys pitching well. Cashman puts this all together. And there's really not anybody better. That's why I said last year, I'm not going to fire Cashman tonight. I go to a bunch of games. I'm not going then. And what did Cashman do to kind of throw, you know, cold water on the fire Cashman stuff? Break glass in case of emergency. Here comes the Martian. Forgot all about all the other stuff. You got to see the Martian. You got to see Everson Pereira. We never talk about him. You got to see Austin Wells. Man, Luis Gil. That's Brian Cashman right there. Clay Holmes. That's Brian Cashman right there. In this lineup, even Gleyber Torres got traded for it. As much as you might hate him at times, Brian Cashman got that guy, and he's one of the better second basemen in the league. Like, as soon as you guys think that Hal and Cash don't want to spend money, Gerrit Cole is a Yankee. Aaron Judge appears to be actually going back to New York. And Juan Soto will be here as well. The first move of the offseason before Juan Soto was trading for Alex Verdugo. Man, how much of a fan favorite has that guy been? How solid has that guy been? You got to tip your cap to Cashman. And job not done, job not finished. So, like, giving him his flowers, I think, you know, there's levels to it. I say tip your cap. You can tip your cap, but the job's not done. Job's not finished. That's why when I physically see Cashman, which I saw Cashman in his suite in 2019, I haven't physically seen him until I saw him in Andrew Levy's perfect suite, which was Liddy Boy. Everybody was in there that night. Jim Leyritz, Roy White, Bernie Williams, me. and I saw Cash, and I said to him, again, like off the record stuff, I gave him his props because I'm like, yo, that is how you respond, right? People are talking about firing you. People are calling for your job, saying that, like, you know, last year, how many times did you hear me talking about if Brian Cashman were to be replaced, who is hiring his replacement? He would have to be the guy doing that. Like, to find the next GM, Hal Steinbrenner is going to say, hey, Brian, what do you think? So he is the eternal Yankees GM. He's not going anywhere. And he does deserve some respect, right? He does deserve a tip of the cap, a little bit of, all right, yo, we see how you responded to 82-80. But the job is not done. The job is, okay, respond to 82-80. Stack the deck at the trade deadline. Have a magnificent trade deadline because you've had some miserable trade deadlines. Joey Gallo is a stain on your resume. Frankie Montas, Lou Trevino, who we still haven't seen, stain on your resume. Man, when is Scott Efros coming back? There's so many other guys that it's like, we traded for these guys. They didn't materialize. Harrison Bader, who at the time I was like, yeah, there's no run support for Jordan Montgomery. Like, go ahead and trade him. Aaron Hicks, that's a stain on your resume. Trading for Aaron Hicks seemed like a steal. But then, giving Aaron Hicks a 7-year deal, that's a stain on your resume. Giving Seve a 5-year deal, whatever Seve had, stain on your resume. I understood what you were trying to do. I understood you were trying to, you know, do what the Braves did, get out in front of it a bit, but nah. Go out there and the same energy that you had for those reporters in Arizona at the GM meetings, Cash, have that same energy for all the GMs that you're talking to at the deadline. We need this, we need this, we need this, we need this. 888-808-1019. We're going to take a break right here. But yeah, if you guys want to talk about anything else, if you're on hold for Yankees conversation, we could take that the rest of the way till 2. So I'll get to the Yankees calls. But if you guys want to talk Mets, NBA Finals, if you guys want to talk mini camps and, you know, players reporting, not reporting with the Jets, I think when I come back, I'll do a little bit of Giants conversation on the way out as well. So let's break it down right here. When we come back, we're taking Yankees calls, and I will speak a little bit on Brian Daboll, Malik Nabers, Drew Locke, and the New York Football Giants. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. We'll be right back after this.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Shows are only 2 hours. I don't have that much time. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Recovering from hernia surgery. They cut me open, man. I got a big-ass scar and bandage and stitches, and it hurts. It hurts. But nobody's ever going to say, I don't show up for work. Nobody's ever going to say, oh, this is a job. You're supposed to take it serious. You're supposed to be here. Yeah, I came in the day after I had surgery, after I was under the knife, anesthesia. I'm here. I'm not sick. I can walk. I can damn sure talk. I'm here. I was saying in my little TikTok chat, I'm definitely tired, though, because the rest and recovery, like, it requires you to be off your feet, to sleep. And I was saying I took more naps than my son. And when you sleep more than, like, I usually do this job, I don't sleep. Like, I'm usually at the stadium. I come do this job. I go home. I might fall asleep at 4 o'clock. My son is up at 6:30. I'm up helping my wife try and wrangle him. And then I might go back to sleep like 8 o'clock to 10. They're banging, doing construction, and I'm up. I sleep in like pockets. But man, this last, you know, today, Tuesday and Monday, I was able to just, you know, sleep. And that makes you more tired. You know, I'm also tired of the Brian Cashman narrative of Cashman sucks and fire Cashman. I don't think anybody's on that anymore. But another thing, shout out to Axel, who's in my chat. He said, yo, we got to give Cashman credit for the decision to sign Marcus Stroman and not Blake Snell. They offered Blake Snell. Blake Snell turned it down, messing with Scott Boras. Brian Cashman swallowed his pride and said, forget about what I said about Marcus Stroman in 2019. He went to Marcus Stroman's house. They talk man to man, and he signed him to a good deal for us. And Stroman's been solid. You also got to give Cashman credit for not panicking when Cole went down. Montgomery was out there. Jordan Montgomery was out there. I just saw Jordan Montgomery, good for him, made his 10th start, and that unlocked his option for 2025. Good for him out there in Arizona. Unlocks his player option for 2025. They didn't go throw money at Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell. They said, we have Luis Hill. Remember, we traded him for Jake Cave? That's a Cashman find. I feel like there was a time where we gave Cashman more props for the Gio Urshelas, the Luke Voits, the Mike Tauchmans of the world. I think now is the time to give him props and give him credit as we head to the deadline and we see what he does. Now, 888-808-1019. I said I did want to mix in some conversation about the Giants. Losing Saquon Barkley as your most explosive playmaker is a problem. Devin Singletary seems to have a chip on his shoulder, thinking that he can replace the guy and make as many plays as him. Good. Darren Waller retires. You don't have that guy you thought was going to be a playmaker. That's probably also good. There's competition at tight end. There's plenty of tight ends, but there's so much competition now at wide receiver. We're hearing Wandell Robinson is balling. Jalen Hyatt is saying this is a playoff team. Malik Nabers is getting the offense down. Darius Slayton has been ever consistent the last few years when you need a guy. So let's see what happens with these Giants. Daniel Jones not participating in team drills because he's rehabbing from the ACL. I don't think that gives Drew Lock an advantage. I think it definitely helps Drew Lock learn the system. And I've already been on record saying there's a guarantee that Drew Lock starts for the Giants this year. It's a guarantee. You can't tell me that Daniel Jones is going to be healthy all 17 games. I just don't believe it. Coming off an ACL with a neck injury, and I feel like he's going to be hesitant. He's going to be thinking too much about being hit. Evan Neal not practicing. Hopefully that offensive line is shored up with Runyon and Illuminor, and obviously Andrew Thomas being healthy, and John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Like, they've got a better offensive line, a new offensive line coach. But I just see Daniel Jones, who used to, you know, look at his first read, look at his second read, not look at his third read, take off and run. He's going to be throwing the ball away, or he's going to take off and run, and he's going to be timid and scared and might get his head taken off. So the Daniel Jones era of the New York Giants continues. Let's go and talk about the New York Yankees, though. That's what people want to talk about. John is in suffering New York. John, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, hanging in there. I didn't get a chance to watch the Yankee game. Was Soto in the lineup?
Batting second and playing in right field, not just DHing. Juan Soto was in the lineup. He worked two walks.
Okay. I know other shows, and I'm not asking you to contradict them, but in reference to Stanton, there was talk of possibly leaving him off the postseason roster.
No.
I don't. I mean, I can't imagine that.
No.
Why? What's your honest opinion?
To make room for who?
To be fair, it was if Soto needed to bat DH because of the injury and I guess a lack of trust, I guess.
I don't know. I didn't catch that on any other show, but that doesn't make any sense to me. Giancarlo Stanton is a future Hall of Famer. He's a proven postseason hitter. He's a guy that is having a good season this year. He stayed healthy. I expect him to be healthy, and I expect him to make an impact in October. I don't see them leaving him off the postseason roster, especially in making, $28 million?
No, I agree. And who's tradable to get a bullpen on?
Man, Gleyber Torres, really prospects. They can trade Gleyber Torres, in my opinion, for a bullpen arm, maybe a one-to-one. That's pretty much it. Out of the starters, out of the guys that you see every day, you need all those guys every day. They're going to be buyers, so that means there's not going to be much for them to sell from the starting lineup. It's going to be moving young guys and prospects, and I think they've got a lot of young guys in the farm that they can detach from.
Then that was my next point. You know, the Cashman tax, or the people think they're being fleeced. I mean, people are going to want Dominguez or Spencer Jones. Am I getting this name right?
Yeah, of course they're going to start there.
Yeah, but do you think the Yankees would be willing to part with? I don't think Dominguez, but
no. They hugged Volpe for so long, Peraza for so long, Gleyber for so long. The school of thought is that if they don't re-sign Juan Soto, they're going to send Dominguez and Jones up. And Jones is now starting to hit again, homering again. I think Jones is a lock to be a Yankee. They're calling him the left-handed Judge. Nobody is Judge. But they're, if he wants to watch Judge, he's another giant. I don't think they move on from Spencer Jones or Dominguez at this trade deadline, even though this is a World Series contending team and you're going to need to do that. I think those two guys are untouchable.
Hey, listen, feel better from your surgery, pal. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, I thought I was going to stand all show, and I'm trying to explain the feeling. It's funny because my wife had a C-section, and she's like, I feel your pain. I know what it's like to get cut open. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're scar buddies now. But, my incision, my cut is probably a fifth of the cut that my wife had to take so they could pull my big-ass baby out, 9 pounds, 4 ounces. Man, I was scared, too, because it's pretty close to the family jewels. I'm like, man, if they cut in there and they mess something up and my yeah-yeahs aren't right, like, there's no coming back from that. They say you're different after surgery. You never be the same. I'm even looking now. I'm like, hey, don't look right down. I don't feel right down there. But it's not that low. It's like your lower ab groin area just got cut open, man. When I had the hernia, when it popped, and when I saw it swell up, I was like, I thought it would go away. I remember thinking like, oh, this is nothing. And then like you can like push it in, and then it comes right back up. It's literally like, and not to be, you guys know I don't do any of the sex talk. I don't do any of the foul talk. I'm not vulgar, but not to be like that. It's like having three balls. If you've never had a hernia, it's like having a third testicle like right above your Johnson. I was so embarrassed for like 3 weeks about it, and then I researched and I talked to a lot of people and I got over it, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to talk about it on the Fan, and you know what? I'm not going to take a whole week off to recover. I'm going to take a night off, which they absolutely tell you can't go to work. My wife had to drop me off, pick me up. They wheelchaired me out. I'm like, I was feeble. I'm like, I don't like this. It was definitely a look into like, I'm like, man, I can't imagine getting old and having complications and things in the hospital where they got to operate on you, or I can't imagine getting into an accident where you're in the, like, sucks. I did have an accident. It was an accident to put four plates on the bar. You know what it was, too? I didn't have a proper warm-up. Don't skip that warm-up, fellas. You guys like to lift weights? Get a sweat going. Get a lather going. Get on that treadmill. Get on that Stairmaster. Get on that elliptical. Like, get at least 10 minutes. Get your body going. I just was overzealous, man. I don't have access to a squat rack. So I got access to a squat rack a couple times, and the first time I was like, oh, all right, I suck. Like, I'm not as strong. But then the second time I got ahead of myself, put more than my body weight. I'm like 205. Putting 225 was too much. Next thing you know, I'm like, oh, no, this ain't right. I'm swole. Go to a doctor, and the doctor's like, you got to operate on that. And even my doctor was like, there was more swelling than we thought. We're glad you didn't. My doctor was like, you want to wait until it's not summertime? You want to wait until you're less active? Because, like, I'm telling him, I'm like, bro, I want to have a six-pack. Like, I want to be able to go to the beach. I'm from the shore. I want to be able to go to the pool, to the beach, and flex. Like, with my baby. Boy, dad, no dad bod. Six-pack, pecs, all that. He's like, you want to just wait until, the winter months? And I'm like, no, this is painful. This is annoying. And I'd rather just get it done now. And then I'll be back to lifting July 4th weekend. And the way I am, I'm not going to squat or do anything heavy. But my arms are fine. If I can curl those dumbbells, curls for the girls. Sun's out, guns out, baby. I'm going to be back in like a week or two. Let's go to Point Pleasant and talk to Pat on the Fan. What's up, PAT? You got it.
I just wanted to say thank you, and I hope that you are feeling better. That kind of injury is going to take like about 4 to 6 weeks for you.
Yeah, that's the recovery time, but hopefully I'm faster than that. I got to sleep. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Oh, that's it? You don't want to talk sports?
Did you go to school with a guy named Kevin Rogers?
What school?
Ocean Township.
I feel like I know that name. Yeah, I graduated from OT and I went to MU. So,
I worked with his father at the Asbury Park Press.
Oh, nice. Man, I keep running into people that worked at the press. I met this guy, Joe, who was selling stuff on the street in Jersey City. And he said he worked at the press 2002 to 2006 covering high school football. I'm like, you definitely covered me. Like, we won the chip in 2005. And then I met, Is it Neve Schulman?
That name sounds familiar.
No, Neve Schulman is from Catfish. There's an Asbury, this and he was working at the Asbury Hotel, doing bellhop stuff. And he's like, yeah, I used to write for the Asbury Park Press. He's like, your name rang a bell. How you been? And I'm like, yo, no way. So, I mean, I know it's different now, but there was a bunch of people that used to work over there.
Yeah, I used to be a printer over there for 24 years.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, thanks for the call. Point Pleasant, Monmouth County on the Fan in New York, both sides of the phone.
Yeah, right now, I'm down in Point Pleasant, Boardwalk, working.
Great place.
Yep. Dude's overnight security stuff.
Hold it down. Thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it, man. Man, I'm blanking on this guy's name. Sucks. I meet so many people now, I can't retain names. But he literally... I said Neve Schulman. That's hilarious. I used to work on Catfish when I worked at MTV. I used to do some social media working for Catfish. I feel like this guy's name was Neve, but maybe it's not. It wasn't Neve. Asbury Park Press. Shout out to Asbury Park Press, man. They wrote me up a bunch of times, dude. Like, high school football, I used to look forward to riding my bike to go get the press every Saturday and Sunday. Multiple times I ended up on the cover of the press or in a spread, whether it was state championship or playoffs or just, not flexing. But one game I had six touchdowns in a game, broke the record, got a big spot. And, as a kid, man, that's everything. It's funny. I met this guy, Joey, in Jersey City, and he said to me, he was like, you're a high school quarterback. You're a state champion quarterback. You had scholarships. He's like, great that you were able to go to school and parlay that and get on the Fan. He's like, most quarterbacks and jocks in high school, they peak. And I'm like, I thought I did. I thought I peaked in elementary school. I thought I peaked in Pop Warner. One Pop Warner season, I had 35 touchdowns in a season in 10 games. I thought that was it. I was like, there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else out there to go get, man. There's always more. There's always something else. So, shout out to Asbury Park Press. When I made the fan cave, they sent Ryan Dunleavy, who covers the Giants, out to the fan cave to spend a day with me. And I was like, Jersey Shore native lands dream job. I was like, that wasn't a dream job. We were in a baseball jail. We watched all 2,430 regular season games all day. It was, though. They paid us $6,000 a month to watch baseball. There's not really a better way to make that much money. And then when I got to the fan, it was like, you know, Keith McPherson carving out his own lane, not trying to fill any shoes, just trying to be his own voice on the fan. And they wrote that up in the press. I have all of those saved. I have all those clippings saved. Like, my family members have those saved. So shout out to APP, the Asbury Park Press. Last call of the night. Let's go to Brooklyn. John, you're on the fan. What up, man?
Hey, what's up, John? Thank you for talking. I'm Keith. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
John, that's fine.
You're John. I'm Keith. But yeah, you know. Yep. You're on.
Yeah. That hernia you had it done with the mesh or the old school fashion?
Old school, no mesh.
Oh man. I did the mesh and I kind of regret it. I should have went old school fashion, but you being there doing it old school fashion, that says a lot, man. Because the old school fashion, that's like, you know, when a woman gets a operation and they open her, that's how they did it to you. And that way, you should be in bed like 2 weeks. You should be in bed like 2 weeks. You being there, that's cool to see.
I should be laying down. My brother, actually, my mom told me my brother had the same procedure at like 28, 29 years old. So I did read that it's also hereditary. Hernias can run in your family. Like, you could be more susceptible to them by just genetics alone.
You wanted to do the old school way or you didn't want to do the mesh?
I wanted to do the old school way, and we talked about it, and my doctor said that that's what we should do, and that's fine. It is what it is.
All right, man. Cool to see you. Props to you. That's why you're the man, Key. Anyway, my question to you is about the Mets, right? I know that the owner, like, I know he wants to sell, he wants to start trading people, but I think he learned his lesson from last year that he did it too early, and a lot of fans were kind of upset. That's why his stadium's been a little empty this year, Keith. So you think that's holding him back, or you think he's going to still go out and, you know, just forget about this season because it's over with? I'll let you go, man. Thank you for my call, buddy.
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, when I was talking about this earlier, We are a couple weeks away from knowing what the Mets are about to do. But there's no reason on the world stage for Steve Cohen to be interviewed and talk about punting. He already made the mistake of going on Twitter and saying he was trying to DM somebody and reply to a tweet and said, well, there's nothing we could do until the trade deadline. But we're a couple losses away, a couple series losses away from just knowing that there's no way the Mets are going to be buyers at the deadline. And I still don't, even if they rip off a couple series wins, even if they have a win streak, I still don't see the point. You're not winning anything with this core. There's so much in baseball right now. It's so obvious to see. Well, let's go back and look at the standings before we close. C-Mac is in here coming up next. Stay tuned for his show. Right? There are how many teams with over 40 wins? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams with over 40 wins. There are a bunch of teams that haven't even cracked 25 wins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, there, when you look at the divisions, the AL East is a pretty solid division because the fourth place team has 32 wins. And same thing goes for the NL Central, right? The St. Louis Cardinals have 31 wins. But it's few and far between. There are just so many teams. Like, you can honestly already look at the postseason. The postseason is going to be between the Dodgers, the Phillies. Can't count out the Braves, even though they're 10 games behind the Phillies. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Braves in the National League. I think those are the three. And then in the American League, it's the Yankees, the Orioles, maybe the Mariners. And I don't want to take the Guardians serious. They play in the Central. Division sucks. All right, that's it, man. C-Mac's coming up next. I got to go home and take some more Advil and lay down and heal up. And I'll be back tomorrow and the next day to do my job, not taking days off because these are important shows and it's summertime and the Yankees are winning and it's a good vibe and I don't want to let anybody down. Shout out to everybody that watched on TikTok. If you guys aren't following me on TikTok, what are you doing? I got way too many followers on Instagram and Twitter. I don't have any followers on TikTok. So hit the follow button. Appreciate y'all. C-Max coming up next. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.